Welcome to episode number 601 of Rainer on Leadership. My name is Tom Rainer. I'm the founder and CEO of Church Answers. I'm joined by Sam Rainer, the president of Church Answers. Episode 601 is simply entitled, it's not that simple, Five Healthy Practices When Members of Another Church Visit Your Church. Now, here's the issue here. When you have people that visit from another church and they are looking at the possibility of leaving that other church to come to your church, how do you treat them? And by the way, one of the reasons I love having Sam on here, of course, having a son on here is just as cool as can be. That's the main reason. But we have someone with relative youth. Now, he'll be 40 in February, so it's all relative. And someone that is a pastor of a church. It's been so many years since I've pastored a church. I've certainly consulted them, worked with them, but it's been so many years that someone that's just really practicing church work right now. And Sam's good at this. When he has people come to his church and they're at another church, he handles it very well, so much so that he's very much the friend of pastors in his community because he handles it very well. So he'll have some things to say on that as we go through this. We want to thank Southeastern Seminary. They have this wonderful mission to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve church to fulfill the Great Commission. And if you've heard it once, you've heard it a lot of times on here. They have a degree program among their 40 different degree programs called the Master of Arts in Church Revitalization. That's in partnership with us at Church Answers and Revitalize Network. It's only 37 hours. You can get this done quickly. It'll help move your church, as churches you're serving, from flatline to flourishing. If you want to learn more about this program, go to sebts.edu. Where you're going, Southeastern will help you get there.
You know, I think this degree program is going to be really beneficial in the next 3 to 5 years. So, you know, because this wave of church revitalization is just beginning. So if there's anybody out there that's thinking about, hey, I want to grow academically in this area, this is the time to do it. And I'm sure a lot of people, you know, this is the beginning of the year, or kind of the end of the year, beginning of the year, you know, they're thinking about, you know, what's next. I would encourage you to check this out because there's going to be a lot of churches that are going to be interested in the fact that, you know, a potential candidate for a pastor has a church revitalization degree. It's going to be more and more important.
And even though we don't use the word credentialing, because it's not that, it is a form of credentialing. It's a form of defining what your passion is and what type of training you've had in that. So it's a great degree. And thankful to Dr. Danny Aiken at Southeastern Seminary, Dr. Bruce Ashford, who is the provost, is there, Dr. Keith Whitfield, Dr. Chuck Lawless, and I never can remember that guy in institutional advancement.
He has the same last name as you.
Art Rainer, Art Rainer. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for all of those guys and the entire team at Southeastern Seminary. Okay.
You know what Dr. Art spells? We should just start calling him Drart.
Okay. That was totally irrelevant. We're going to just...
That's how my mind thinks. Sorry.
By the way, we want to wish everyone, and really, we're releasing this 2 days after Christmas, so I hope you've had a great Christmas. We're so thankful for the audience at Rainer on Leadership, and we're about to head into 2020. That is just incredible. And just to let you know that one of the ways we're celebrating with you, we've got a lot of incredible resources, and everything from Invite Your One to Pray and Go to 16 Quick Adjustments to the Millennials to Gen Z. Oh, I could go on and on, all kinds of resources. And we're offering all of them off now at 40% individually, or you can get the whole package for 50% off. We're getting ready to launch some new things in 2020. So we want you to grab these at the best possible price you'll ever be able to grab them. So we'll be combining Church Answers, TomRainer.com, a lot of exciting things on the horizon. So grab these as we celebrate. And then thank you for going into the new year as we celebrate this end of year launch. Okay,
let's go. You know what Drart is? I just looked it up on Amazon. Okay. They make light bulbs.
So you looked up something on Amazon to get a meaning?
Yeah.
Not Google, not Wiki. Mm-mm. You looked on. Jeff Bezos is taking over the world. He is absolutely taking over the world. Okay. Back to the scenario that I described earlier. You have someone visit your church, get into a conversation with them, say you're the pastor or another church member, and you find out that they're considering leaving their other church in the community. They would be what we usually call transfer growth, and they want to talk to you. Sam, you've been through this in all of your churches. And honestly, I brag on you on this. I don't know of any pastor that handles it better than you. How did you get into this frame of mind?
Well, I've been on the giving end of church members and the receiving end. So you're talking about people who were moving around, you know, from one church to another. There's good reasons for that. There's bad reasons for that. We've talked about that, you know, on this podcast and through your blog, Dad. I mean, it's just a normal part of church life that there's always going to be those who will be making a move from one place to another, from one congregation to another. So this is a universal reality of all churches. You need to handle it well.
So that's why we say, when they approach you and tell you, we are from First Church and we're visiting you, your community church, as an example, and the antenna goes up and you begin to think, they're visiting us to consider coming here and leaving their church. The first thing you do is just listen to them.
Yeah, hear them out. I mean, you have no idea of what's going on. There could be doctrinal concerns at another church. There could be something that happened that's legitimate for them to be thinking about, you know, moving from one congregation to the next, or it could be completely illegitimate and, you know, they could be 100% in the wrong, but you don't know until you hear them out. So I always take a posture of listening and being careful and thoughtful. And a lot of times, you know, taking people out to a lunch, you know, obviously if you're a larger church, you can't take every guest out to lunch, but sometimes I do that. And, you know, I just hear them out.
But as you're listening, you don't let them go down the path too much. This is our second point. You don't let them go down the path too much of bashing the other pastor or church.
No, I cut the conversation off at that point.
Have you ever just said, I don't want to go down that? Are you a little more polite than that?
Typically, I'm a little more. I try to be more polite. But
you're a polite person. By the way, I think your brother Jess is here, speaking of more polite people.
Jess is the kinder, gentler Rainer.
Yes.
No doubt about that.
Yes.
No, I don't. I'm friends with most of the pastors in my community. If you're coming from another church and you're bashing the pastor, likely you're bashing one of my friends. So I handle it like I would a friend if someone were saying things.
That's good.
So, you know, and even if I don't know the pastor, I try to take that posture of, what if this was my friend? So no, I don't tolerate, you know, the bashing of another church or the bashing of another pastor. We have had some people come our way from one church in particular in our community for some very serious reasons, and that I'm not going to get into because I don't want to bash another church. And they have legitimately left that church and legitimately come to our church. But one thing, even in those cases that we don't tolerate, even though that we know there's major issues there, we don't tolerate the bashing, the insults, the constant chatter about a church. Because here's the thing, you don't want your church known as, you know, this is the place where you can come and complain, right? You don't want that culture. So you need to just cut it off.
And the reality of it is, if you have that culture, you'll start attracting the naysayers and you'll have a big church of negative people.
Yeah, we try hard at West Braden to not to have a culture of complaining. That's difficult. That's difficult at any church. That's difficult at even healthy churches, because it's something that people naturally do, is complain or gripe. I mean, I do these things. We all do them. So yeah, you have to work hard to push against a culture of complaining. And the more complainers you invite in, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have that cultural issue in your own church. And it will only come back to haunt you or to bite you, or whatever cliche that you're looking to fill in the blank there. I mean, you don't want to invite complainers into your church.
What happens is, if these negative people come into your church, and you've made clear, Sam, that not everybody that transfers from a church in the community is wrong. But when you do have these people who are coming for the wrong reason, and they do come in with a culture or an attitude of complaining, what happens is they think your church is going to be the church that's going to solve the problem.
Exactly.
The problem. And when you don't, guess what? You're now the recipient. And the circulation of the saints continues again.
Yeah. I have found in my ministry that at all of the churches that I've served, those who have come in complaining, and that for whatever reason we have received them, give them enough time, guess what happens?
They'll complain.
The same thing that happened at their previous church, all of a sudden they're doing it your church now. That has been almost 100. I'm batting almost 1,000 there.
if you find a pastor, I mean, not a pastor, if you find a church member that was more than just a negative person, but a true toxic person that tore churches up, that person will have a track record of tearing more than one church up. Because at some point, I'll use he as the pronoun, he will eventually not be satisfied, or he would have disrupted the church so much that it's in disarray, he'll leave and he'll start over at another church.
Yeah, I think disruptor is a good word. You know, I don't know that everyone that does this is toxic, because that's a very strong
word. And I wanted to say that is a rare thing.
It's rare. I mean, you know, not everyone that complains is toxic. I mean, I think pastors can be a little overly sensitive. So yeah, just because somebody's complaining doesn't mean they're toxic. But if they're disruptive at previous churches, they will likely be disruptive at your church too.
Okay. Once you find out that they have a problem, say with the pastor or the poor worship leader, let's fight about worship style and music, or maybe even some members of the church. I think I've heard you say this, and I've heard other pastors, they need to practice reconciliation. That's one of the first things that they need to do.
Yep.
They don't need to come to you in your church with a disrupted relationship before they have attempted to reconcile themselves.
Yeah, and I always offer to help. So it isn't just, hey, we don't want you here, go back to your church. I offer myself, not necessarily as a mediator, but a lot of times if it's a pastor I have a connection with, I say, listen, I know your pastor. We're friends. How can I help you reconcile with whatever's happening here? And so you almost want to be someone who helps diffuse bombs for other pastors.
Ooh, that's good.
If you can be a helpful presence in the community where you yourself are diffusing problems for other pastors, now you're doing good kingdom work, good cooperative work, good work that we should all be doing together. So it's not like, oh, whoa, that's serious. You know, you need to go back to your church. And hey, if you work it out, then you can come back our way. It's not like that. That can sometimes hurt, you know, if you just push them back to the church where they're coming from. I want to send them back and be a helpful presence in that problem. So I will often offer to help. I mean, what you offer, you have to be careful about. Of course, it depends on how well I know the other pastor. But I don't just send them back. I try to diffuse that bomb for the other pastor so that I'm not, you know, sending a bunch of negativity back to the church.
I get that. Now, sometimes you and other pastors will take the opportunity to contact the pastor from the church where they came. Is there any rule of thumb for that, where you say, I'm going to, you take the initiative to contact the pastor from that church?
Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of transfer growth at our church, particularly from churches in the community. We're just known, you know, we've already got the reputation of we're not going to tolerate that kind of stuff. So we don't get a whole lot of it. So, and most, for me, I would say I contact the pastor in most cases. You know, in some way, shape, or form, or somebody from our staff will, if they know another staff person of the church, just to kind of double check and make sure that everything is okay. And often it comes with a blessing. You know, we had a family recently join our church, and, you know, their children were of a certain age, and the church they're coming from did not have really what was needed for their family. And again, I don't want to get into all the details there, but we had some ministries that were good and a good fit. And so they came with a blessing from the other pastor and said, yeah, you know, we hate to lose them, but we understand why they're coming. They're not leaving on bad terms. Please receive them. And we did. And it worked out really well. And we've actually had the same thing happen from our church, where, you know, people come in, they have, you know, something that they need at another church, and we've sent them to other churches because it's just a better fit for them. But that's done on the up and up. Yeah, there's a lot of phone calls or texts or, you know, messages that get sent. That over communication here is better. You know, if you feel like, you know, maybe should if you're asking the question, should I call or should I send an email? The answer is probably yes. It can't hurt to just reach out, just so that the other pastor, whoever that may be, or elder or church leader, whoever you're contacting, is at least in the know, and you handle it graciously, of course.
And if Brad Wagner were here, by the way, he will be in the office shortly. I know he can't be here now because I usually would hear him at least a mile away before he comes here. So I know he's not here yet. He would say, call. It's hard to communicate tone in an email or a text or something like that. So I said, he would say, on sensitive issues like this, give him a call. And again, that's a it depends type of thing. It's not always the case, but maybe a telephone call would be good. Okay. So in some cases, you contact the pastor of the church. Again, that is an if it depends. Obviously, in this, you pray for all parties involved. And I was talking to a pastor, it's been a few months ago, but this is his practice. He said when he begins to talk to someone and he understands that there's some type of disruption in a relationship between these guests and the pastor or someone else in the church, that before the conversation ends, he has prayer with them. He prays for all the parties involved. And I never did that. So I wish I had it. Somebody had mentioned that to me. But once he hears them out, he will pray for them individually. He'll pray for their pastor. He'll pray for the other church. He'll pray for God just to intervene in all of these situations so that it's bathed in prayer. And so the right decision can be made. So you know, that's something I didn't do.
You know what I wish there was? And this would never happen. It's hot stove season for all of those who are baseball fans. And I don't
wait, say that again.
Hot stove. So if you're a baseball fan, you'll know what that means. It's the off season. It's winter, you're over a hot stove, you're talking about what's gonna happen in the off season, who's gonna get traded to what team, and there's a lot of chatter about how the season's gonna begin with the 40-man roster and all of that. That's what happens here. And in between, there's two seasons. There's when baseball season is occurring and the hot stove season. So
Never heard it.
It's fine. That's for the baseball fans. Here's my point. I wish that there was a way that we could like trade church members the way that teams trade players. I just have this, hey, I've got an abundance of life group leaders. I've got some really good teachers, but I could use a worship pastor, and I'll give you three of my best teachers for a worship pastor.
You just talked about the scarcity of worship leaders and thus the enhanced value of worship leaders.
Yeah. I mean,
unless you're in the Nashville area.
And I know that there's all sorts of reasons why this is a terrible thought, theological reasons and leadership reasons and all of that. But
almost every reason I can think of except pragmatism.
Yeah, except for pure pragmatism. That's right. And that's not where we want to be. But I have had those thoughts like, what if that really existed? Wouldn't it be great if you could just trade church members? And I mean that in a very kind way, of course.
How is that kind?
It's not.
I mean that in a very kind way.
I mean, I'm coming at this.
We're exchanging people and we're talking about it in a kind way. Yeah, exactly.
I know it's terrible on so many levels. Yes, but I've had those thoughts.
Well, the essence of all of this, and this is life as we live it, this is leadership as we should lead it, is to think like Christ, be as Christ. What would he do? And Sam, one of the things you said that I thought was probably the highlight of this particular podcast is you put yourself in the shoes of the other pastor specifically, or someone from the sending church, and say, what would I want to do if I were in their shoes? And so you respond accordingly. And the reality of it is, if you don't do these five healthy practices, and admittedly, the fifth one is one that I just learned from another pastor a few months ago, to pray for all parties involved. Admittedly, most of us don't do all these five, but if you do these five, you're really doing a whole lot of things that are just after the pattern of Christ. And that's really, really important. Well, thank you again for being a part of Rainer on Leadership. I always want to thank our folks at Vanderblumen. They've been serving churches for 9 years. I got to tell you, Sam, there are very few organizations that have had the hockey stick growth curve of Vanderblumen. And that's not just a numerical congratulations. That's kind of, okay, they have met a need in the church world. And they started off by finding pastors and they found other staff at churches. And now they're expanding and they've got a lot of new clients that are Christian schools, nonprofits, Christian businesses. Look, if you're looking for anyone in a values-based organization, a church, or any of these others, contact our friends at vanderblumen.com. Once again, let me remind you to look at the link, our end of year thank you promotion. These are some huge, huge values. So jump on those before it expires, and it will expire pretty quickly, this end of year sale. So jump on those as soon as you can. As always, thank you for joining us today on Rainer on Leadership. Please do us a favor. go to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you're listening to this, whatever app or wherever you join us at TomRainer.com. Give us a good review. Give us a ratings. Subscribe there. And just help us get the word out about this ministry that has been going now for, 601 episodes. And God willing, we'll be here for another 600 plus. And we'll be counting on Kevin to bring the donuts at number 1,000, episode number 1,000, which in many ways will be just around the corner. Thank you again for joining us at Rainer on Leadership, where we are growing healthy churches together.